Ready to elevate your self-care game? Boscal Beauty Bar is a modern med spa offering everything from cosmetic injectables, lasers and microneedling, to medical-grade facials and skincare. Conveniently located in Clintonville, Grandview, Powell, and Easton, making self-care a priority has never been easier. Use code CROFT for $25 off your first visit. Jackie Popovec, John Anthony, welcome to the Carrie Croft Show.
Hi.
I'm not excited at all, just so you know. I slept like a baby last night. I haven't even thought about this interview. Okay? Kidding. Okay. It was like 10 sleeps till the Vindies, 9 sleeps, 8 sleeps. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you.
Like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
It really is. And as it turns out, you guys are just as humble and amazing in person. I mean, you just have this vibe online and it matches and then some in real life. And that doesn't always happen.
Weird, because I feel like I don't post enough.
Because you're busy. You're busy making Muzak, right?
Muzak, yes.
So that's, you're a Youngstown girl, huh?
Yeah. The whole band is in Youngstown, but I've had, you know, my family is from Youngstown 4 generations, and they came over from Czechoslovakia. My great grandpa lived in, you know, Youngstown, steel town. He was working in the factories. And that's my history. So we've always been on the west side over there, and very hunky.
Hunky.
I mean, it's a smaller version, let's say, of Cleveland or Pittsburgh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, very similar to that vibe of, you know, an old Rust Belt town, and kind of like out of the embers comes, you know, some cool artistic expressions, you know. All the bands that have come out of Northeast Ohio and art.
You were in a band, and then she came along, right?
Yeah.
So how did this start? Like, when did the two of you start to make this magic together?
Well, we were playing the other band. So the original members of the Vindies from 10 years ago were playing at a restaurant in Youngstown.
Was it called the Vindies?
No, it wasn't called the Vindies. And there was a different girl singing, and you were there. But I didn't meet you that night. Or maybe I did, but it was just like a high.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if you were there for the whole time.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You had just got back to town.
Remember.
And then we found out, like, then our drummer knew you. And he was like, oh, she's here. She's in town. And so our singer was fine, but she wasn't really cutting it, like, doing covers and stuff. So then.
No, I think she got sick one
no,
day.
No, she had, what was her birthday?
She
was going to vacation.
Big mistake.
Yeah. So she was going on vacation, so she couldn't fill the date. So our drummer was like, this girl's back in town. She can do it. And then we never called her back.
Oh,
that was it.
Salt. Was she upset?
I don't know if she even.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
I don't even know if she realizes that.
I mean, nobody lets you pinch hit and then expects to come back. Okay.
Oh,
so,
no.
But you guys
tried to replace me one time and that didn't go over well.
Well,
how would you possibly want to replace? Oh, because. Dynamics, like replaced because
we
of dynamics.
We were in a cover band at the time.
Yeah.
So like, we thought, like, if I was sick or something, I had to do something. So some other, I was like, just get somebody else to do it.
Oh, yeah. They were not happy.
And fans were not like, where did Jackie
go? Where's,
well, yeah,
where's,
you
where's
can't.
She yeah.
I mean, you're that good. Now, question for you before. Okay, so pre-Jackie.
Sure.
When you were a cover band, what would be your favorite song?
I mean, we were doing, like, anything that was like on the top 100 at that point. So it was like Katy Perry. It was.
But we would make it our own. Like,
right.
We
well, even
jazz
before.
It up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
if you had one right now to do. Okay. Like right now, pull out anything. Cover band, something. Johnny on the spot.
Do you want to do Valerie?
Sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water. And I think of all the things, what you're doing, and in my head I paint a picture. Cause since I've come home, where my body's been a mess, and I miss your ginger hair and the way you like to dress. Won't you come on over, stop making a fool out of me. Why don't you come on over, Valerie?
Oh, I'd come over.
Yeah.
Oh, that, I mean, can we give it a little?
I mean, we haven't done that in like 8 years and it's still, we must have done it so many times that we just sticks, you know?
Yeah, you won't catch me doing much of Amy Winehouse because people always compare me to her. So I always feel like I can't be covering her because she is one of my biggest influences. So yeah. I try to like, you know, not to have that influence too much because I can really kind of like lean into it. I can kind of mimic a lot of different artists, and that's kind of where I came from, the start of this band. Like, we just like kind of mimicking, kind of like Ariana Grande does on Jimmy Fallon. Like, she's, you know, she can hear somebody and immediately like, you know, mimic that vocal.
Yeah.
And I can do that. I could try to, but right. I've done that, you know, many times, but until I got my own voice and then, you know, writing my own songs is the way that developed.
So when you were doing the covers, were you always writing and saying, like, I really want, like, were you pushing them to do original songs, or how did that come about?
I think it was the opposite. I mean, you had some tunes, but you were more hesitant.
I was very hesitant because, one, we were making a lot of money doing the wedding band and, like,
yeah,
like,
I mean, playing a lot
Thursday,
yeah.
Friday, Saturday, and people were loving the covers. And it's so easy to just get in that thing. And, you know, when we threw in the first time, it was actually Bang, I think, was the first song that we ever, you know, started playing live. And when we started doing that, people were like, do you have anything else? I'm like, oh. Okay, I have this song called Red Wine, and then we made an EP, and then the radio station picked it up in Akron, and from there we were like, oh, like, let's stop this cover band stuff.
Yeah, we saw a need. Like, I mean, we were playing. I mean, I think there was we played with Hunter Hayes was our big first like show that we ever did. It was Jackie and I opened for Hunter.
2017. Yeah, House of Blues.
And the next day we released our full length album, and it was like there was just an audience to see us, and I think we were like, that's it, this is,
yeah,
we can like
never
like,
look back.
We can like, we finished out the commitments of any cover gigs that we had, because I think like the next night or like the next weekend, like, we played for no one at a restaurant for 3 hours, and we were like, this is stupid, why are we doing this anymore? And so we just kind of,
what's the creative process? So you write, does anybody else write? Like, do you write in a silo and then you bring it and then you guys, like, how does that all work?
I mean, just like talking about my hesitancy before, you know, bringing my music to the band. I've, you know, previously just written by myself. But like, as the years went on, I started bringing in the band more and more. John has written songs. Rick Deek is also a major writer and contributor. But I... it always has to be with the singer in mind, you know? So I definitely have the melody, the lyrics, and some chord progression. And sometimes it completely changes. But I always like to write differently just to see what comes about. So we were in the studio just last week, and Rick comes up with this riff, and then, you know, Brendan on bass, and then you come, and I'm like just scatting on top of that. So sometimes it's just like as natural as that. Sometimes it's I come to them with the actual structure of like a verse chorus and see where it goes from there. And we fight over what the bridge is going to sound like for seemingly forever. And then when we get it, we're like, ta-da. Like,
yeah.
So it's always different. Sometimes it starts with an idea, just a simple line. Sometimes it's a piano. I feel like on guitar, it sounds more like a rock or country type of tune. On keyboards, it's more like a pop tune.
Mm-hmm. What is Bang? What did you write that about?
Bang actually was, I'm most proud of Bang because I wrote that within 15 minutes. That was the fastest song I've ever written in ever. I was coming home from a math class in college when I was living in Florida, and it just popped in my head, and I immediately knew where it needed to go, what the lyrics were going to be. So I think I was going to meet a friend, and I was like, I can't. Like, I'm going to go home real quick. I'll meet you in a little bit. And within 15, 20 minutes, I had, like, the whole structure of what it sounded like in my head. So I'm most proud of that song because it came out so quickly. Even the lyrics came out, and I'm such a fighter for better lyrics, but this kind of just fell out of me.
When you heard it, did you know, you're like, okay, this is...
Yeah, it was so cool. And like, she was, I mean, again, like, it was very hesitant initially to do stuff. I mean, we were sort of doing things.
I'm still, like, weird about showing people new music. Like, yeah. The first time you ever do that, you're like, gosh.
Yeah, it's like showing a baby. Yeah.
But or I mean, a piece of art or anything. It's vulnerable. You're like, basically naked in front of a group of people saying, do you like what I've, you know, toiled over?
Sure.
It's a big deal.
I mean, do you want to show the progression of it, too? Because it started out not so funky. It was more of like a country driven. Country,
yeah, let's too. Do it. Yeah.
You want to do a little bit of it? Like, just want to do it from the chorus, right from where you jump in?
You got me good. Bye. You shot me and my heart's feeling good. Bye. You shot me. You got me good. Bye. You shot me and my heart's feeling good.
And there was like, stop.
Yeah, my world was turning right up when you come walking. And I've been looking for someone to fix my heart full of sin. Right up where my world, right up where my heart, right up you made me feel before my world fell apart.
Yeah.
Then it got funky. Yeah.
It's so good. Do you remember the first time performing it in front of an audience? Was it a moment or?
No, it wasn't a moment. I honestly thought it was just at a bar scene that we were.
It was
like,
at a songwriter thing.
We folded it in between all the cover songs so that let's see what they think about it. We didn't announce that it was our song. We didn't. They're like, what's that? What's that song? Who does that song?
I think at the time too, like Carrie Underwood was like really like she was the height of everything, and it was like not there was like a tune she had. That was very similar driven.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Mama's something broken heart.
Yeah, that's not my mama's broken.
Yeah.
Or Miranda Lambert,
oh, maybe. But it was like that
was
vibe in country music was like the thing at the time.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for like really tightly wrapped pop songs.
Well, so you wrote that Taylor, like your hype song, you wrote a Taylor Swift song. On your intake form.
Yeah, and you said,
and so I was
right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, like right. And like that, that's what I think of when you say that like tightly written, lyrical. And which one was it?
Melody.
Was it Karma?
It's like, that's my hype song right now. Like, but that whole, actually, I'm not like a Swiftie, but this last album that she put out was fire. It was so good. The production was so good. It reminded me of a little bit of my favorite Lana Del Rey and a mix of, but I think that now she's at this like pinnacle of where her vocal production should be. Like she doesn't have like this grandiose vocal. What it is that she's using her vocal as an instrument now, and it's very produced and it sounds amazing. And that's how I prefer Taylor Swift.
I love Lana Del Rey.
Me too. Yeah, she's my girl. I mean, she really changed, and Taylor Swift is totally correct on that Grammy stage when she said that Lana Del Rey has influenced so many people. This from Lana Del Rey, you got Lorde, you got a lot of other up and coming. Even Billie Eilish has a lot of that vein, and it started to become more about like this. Big reverbs and storytelling again, and just a really great way to relate to people again. And so you got like this nice energy going with new music that Gen Z's are really gravitating toward now.
Didn't Taylor pull her up on stage recently?
That was really weird.
So if that were you, because that was...
And I do have an opinion on it.
Because, so I went back and forth too. Like
you might have to show the clip of it, but...
But I did take a minute for that and like actually go down a little rabbit hole on TikTok and I'm like, ooh, because intent is so pure. Like I feel like Taylor's intent was really pure, but then you're like, okay, if that were you and you got pulled up on stage, how would you feel?
Well, I think that Lana Del Rey is the kind of person that she's honestly beside herself with the whole Taylor like aura. You know, she's just kind of taking it in. She's you know, in her mid 30s, I think now, and she's like looking at all this like, wow, like this is amazing. Like she's next to Taylor Swift. She's walking the red carpet. She's going to all the shows and parties and with Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff. And she is also at the same time nominated, you know, in the same category. So when Taylor, who totally innocently, you're right, brings her up on stage, and Lana's like, she won, but I lost, you know? At the same right. time, she's probably like just like, and who knows what she felt, because she hasn't said, but I do think that, you know, it was just kind of a surreal moment you could see on her face, that it was just like, no, this is your moment. I don't want to be up on stage. I just lost. That's what I felt like it was. And she really tried not to be on there. Like, how many times do you, like, try to pull your friend up before you're like, you know, she, like, right. made it, like, you're coming up.
If you had to pick a favorite, could you pick a favorite Lana Del Rey song?
I love Brooklyn Baby. We used to play one of the Lana Del Rey songs. What was
Which
it?
Which one?
Summertime.
Summertime. Yeah, but it's been a long time. Yeah, that one's...
I got that summertime. I think we jazzed it up, too. We did, like, our own version of it. Lana's, like, definitely influential in many ways.
God, she's cool. Very cool. What was the fan favorite before we move past the whole cover band scene? What was, like, a for you... vocally that everybody wanted to hear.
I mean, we used to do Hold On.
What was
by...
the Alabama Shakes tune yeah. everyone loved? Bless my heart, bless my soul. I didn't think I'd make it to 22 years old. There must be someone up above.
Get it, girl.
Yeah, wait. But I wanna wait. Yeah. Too early for that. Yeah, wait. Yeah.
So good.
Well, and that song, and just like my favorites, like Etta James, there's like this milk and honey of the vocal tone, and then you got the like in the face raw vocal, very gritty. And that's like, I'm both. I'm very much both of those things. And
I can
know,
see that.
Yeah. In my personality, too. This way. And then on stage, I'm like possessed.
What are your musical influences
growing
up?
You know what? I grew up just listening to a lot of like rock stuff from my parents. Like Van Halen was my favorite. So, yeah, that was like the one that that was my first concert ever. So when I saw them, it was like this little wire just connected. And I was like, that's it. This is, I totally get what this is all about now.
And then when did you start playing the guitar?
Shortly before that, like in like junior high. So I saw them in like ninth or 10th grade, and I was way into guitar. I thought it was super cool. But then like I saw them and I was like practicing every hour of the day.
You
like,
just knew.
Yeah. Like this is it. This is so cool. Yeah. I was really lucky to be like, my dad's a guitar player too. So we share that. Yeah.
So you mentioned something about COVID, and clearly COVID, we're all still recovering, right? Mm-hmm. COVID has a long tail. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of trauma from COVID. But how did that affect? I mean, your lifeblood is the sweat, the people, the. Yeah. I mean, when you can't do
our
that,
our job is to bring people together.
I mean, there's no like Zoom call with the Vindys. I mean, you could, but like, you said it. COVID broke my soul.
Like it really did. I had a number of breakdowns and. In 2019, we had planned to release a full-length album, our second, mm-hmm. The Bugs. And we got in the studio in January of 2020, finished it up roughly in March, like early March. And I remember very clearly the last song that we recorded in the studio, which was All and Everything. And we were all like... It was just one. I'm really great under pressure. So if I know that the end is near of recording, I'm like, okay, here's this song. Let's just throw it on there. So I brought everyone in the studio. We started learning it quickly. Within like two takes, we had it. And that was the end of it. And then a couple weeks later, COVID. And we were like just every day like connected to the news and just like slowly like, one by one, things got canceled, and like all our shows got canceled, and we were like, oh my God. And then, and so that year we were like, what do we do with this album? Do we put it out? Cause that's what all artists were doing. Like there was a lot of tours planned for 2022. Right. Like there were going to be a lot of anniversary tours for a lot of bigger national acts. There was going to be a lot of releases. And so we decided to hang on to it and release it in 2021, which is what we did. And I'm glad we did because then we were able to do things like this where we can promote it better and get on the road and tour with the album. And so I'm glad that we did that. But throughout that honestly 2 years, it was like, you know, our drummer had to like, you know, tap out after a while. And that devastated me. And then, you know, just bringing on new people and people moving within the 2 years because of COVID and because of, you know, just life happening in 2 years, we were just in a different space. So we, you know, at this point in time right now, I feel like there's momentum, but we also are at a really great place with this band right now. And I feel so grateful to be having done this for as long as we have. And I know that we're going to be continued. There's no ending this. This is just what we do. So it's like, it's just in us to do this.
Yeah. I made a note to my wife saying like, you know, we've had iterations of the band and everyone that's come through the band have been wonderful human beings that we love. And, you know, but I was telling my wife the other day, like, I've never laughed so much with this group, this version of the Vindies. I mean, everyone else, it's like, I mean, it's always been fun, but this has been like a family. You see a band like the Foo Fighters where they just laugh and all, like they have to, like you can't be, like they have to be laughing to the bank. Like this, these are just a group of friends who are playing fun music. And I think that's what this version is now.
So. Sounds like you've gelled.
Oh,
it's just completely. The perfect, yeah.
Completely. There's not, I mean, and that's what I would say about this band, if you haven't seen us yet, because we're not posting like a ton of videos and you sometimes can't get that vibe on a video. If you come see us live, you immediately realize how in sync we are as a unit. Each and every one of us know where the other is going. And if we are going to take a detour, there's leadership between me, John, Rick, and the drums and everybody. So it's fun to just kind of like
and set the stage for people because you have a band. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, let's talk about the how many members and what they're playing because it's a production.
Yeah, we have 9 members. Yep. We got John on guitar, a lead guitar, Rick Deek on guitar as well. We have first of all, those two right there, Rick Deek and John Anthony, they make the band. They have this like really, really cool relationship between harmonics on the guitars that they duel and improv with. So it's really fun to see, you know, after a show, I'm like, yeah, you did really good, you know, this or that. So it's always different. It's never the same. So those two, we got Brendan Burke on bass. We have Owen Davis on drums. Those are the new kids on the block. And we've got our horn section, which we love to bring with us as much as we can. Sometimes we can't. And that's Kyle O'Donnell on trumpet. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Garrett Kuchmaner on saxophone and Brian Maley on trombone.
Yeah. Man,
and then my brother on keyboard.
And Nathan Anthony on keyboard.
You got a crew and keeping everybody in sync, man. That's got to be.
Everyone's got a job on the road too. So I just.
Just in case you forgot. Okay. So Bugs, if you had to pull something out for people who haven't heard of you before right now to sing.
Yeah. We can play a little bit of Bugs.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're in my head getting louder, louder each day. Day. Waiting for the time when they come to infest my brain. Brain. Keep patching away if duct tape helps for a time, but they. I. Helps for a time. Inside, in my mind,
What's that about?
So Bugs is a literal story that happened to me. I was hearing this like crackly noise in my ceiling above my bedroom at night. And I was at my dad's house at the time. And I was like, Dad, there's like a creepy crawly thing in our roof or in our attic or something. He's like, it's in your head. It's all in your head. I'm like, I'm watching the news one night and like the bee man from Youngstown is like describing, if you have this Rice Krispie noise happening in your walls or your ceiling, you might have bees. I'm like, that's what I have.
Well, and the bee man had just like gone viral.
He had gone viral.
Because he was like doing, like, he's basically just someone who like collects the bees and then sends them off to the right places instead of exterminating them. And he had just gone viral for a video where he found this abandoned car and pulled like the ceiling inside down and
like
thousands of bees just flew out. So then like what was like ABC Night News or something like that, and the video went viral.
So he made the local news, and that's where I learned. And I was like calling the bee man the next day. I was like, can you come over here? He goes, absolutely. And by the way, I love the Vindies. He comes to the house and then he goes up to my bedroom. He comes out, he goes, I'll be right back. Goes to his car, comes back, full fledged bee suit with the mask and everything. I was like, should I run away? What do I need to do right now? Do I need to leave the house? No, you're fine. He shuts the door. And he was like, do you mind if I videotape this? I'm like, what is in my room? Like, what is going
just
on?
Just get them out.
So he got a GoPro or whatever and actually made the news that night. Mm-hmm. There was like 10,000 yellow jackets in my ceiling. And he said, if you had stayed there one more night, it was about to like fall on top of you. Like, that's how much. And I was like watching this, like there was nothing that it seemed like until I stood on top of my bed and I put my two fingers up and it bowed. And I was like, oh my God. So
you are kidding me.
Yeah.
I would write a song about that too.
I know. So like I didn't sleep for weeks thinking about like how I could have died from yellow jackets.
Could
so
you have imagined if that would have fought? I mean, that would be like something you could not unsee or unexperience. That's crazy. So speaking of the Vindies, it's named after the paper, the Youngstown paper.
Yes, the Vindicator.
Okay. So when you guys were, you're like, okay, new band, new name. How did you guys just all, how
the
did
Youngstown
that?
Youngstown Tune-Ups.
How did
it was also another, yeah, it was also another idea.
You guys just like sat down and kind of like, who said the Vindies?
I want to say it was either me or Nick. I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe.
I really
yeah.
don't remember.
We just wanted something that was Youngstown. But the Youngstown Tune-Ups would have also been great.
Youngstown Tune-Ups.
Was that your idea, John?
No, it wasn't. I wish it was.
It sounds like a doo-wop group.
Yeah. Or it could sound like an oil change. Like, I'm going to get my oil changed.
Or you're car bombed.
That's true. I think the Vindies is like, the Vindies is spot on. But when you said it, was it like, oh yeah? Or was it, did you still have to like, convince people?
Yeah,
like,
no, I don't think it. I don't think it was like that.
But the Vindicator loved it. And they promoted our first ever show.
Yeah.
The Vindies are playing. And I thought they were going to be mad at us for using.
Oh no, they probably loved it, right?
They loved it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so let's talk about Are You Ready? And how did that whole thing happen where it got licensed? And how exciting was that?
Yeah, Are You Ready was, well, the producer from AT&T Sportsnet in Pittsburgh had called us and said, hey, we love your song Chasin' off of your last album. Do you mind re-recording some lyrics to make it like kind of sportsy or whatever? And I was like, no, it's already out there. Like, I don't want to like redo it. But the opportunity sounded awesome, so I didn't want to let it go. And I remember doing some sort of like anthemic, like really quick, like Rocky, Carrie Underwood type Joan Jett Super Bowl song a year prior with Rick Deek. And we look through our I'm like scrolling through all my stuff. I'm like, this is going to be perfect. I said, just give me a few days and we'll get back to you. He loved it. And then honestly, he was like even almost like a music producer in the way that he like asked us to speed it up a little bit and like, you know, get to the chorus quicker or whatever. And I was like, okay, fine. We're writing it for TV. good to go. And they used it for the Pittsburgh Pirates for their commercials, their Friday night sports with the Icy Light to promote the beer. And then they did this big commercial for us. And then we did then it was shown on the Pittsburgh Penguins games and the Steelers, like the practice.
Like their training camp montage.
Yeah. So Pittsburgh loved Are You Ready? And then I got a call from ESPN saying, hey, ACC Network needs a song for their softball, and we'd love to use it for their spring season. And I'm like, oh. In my head, I had written this in mind of like, oh, this is like another Super Bowl, like sportsy, anthemic, Joan Jett. Like, this is exactly what I wrote this for. And it's exactly what it's being used for now. Mm-hmm. Like, ESPN has called. We've hit the lotto. Like, that's amazing.
And even when we signed the contract, we didn't think it was – it was still up in the air. It was like a maybe. Like,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And then we were all out or something, and we were – I know I was in bad reception, but then got back into good reception at some club I was at. And then all of a sudden, everyone was like, we just heard you on the TV. We just heard you on the TV. Like, it was all, like, over –
Yeah,
that's incredible. Yeah, because first of all, financially, but then do you guys get paid ongoing for that, or is it like one time?
We're actually waiting for that paycheck.
Seriously?
No.
The second
like,
part. Yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, I'm like ESPN. Let's pay. I think you can get in that pocketbook.
No, you get the contract, obviously, right up front, and then with the way that it works in the system, you have your royalties from it being shown across the country. So it's almost coming up on
a year.
Yeah, it should be coming any day now.
Not that we're like checking the mailbox or anything.
Yeah,
to have your voice recognized like that too is incredible.
No, well, this day and age when you can't make money on, albums, selling albums or CDs, that's exactly what you want. You want it synced to commercials, TV, movies. We're just really grateful to even have that kind of platform.
Build the family of your dreams with reproductive gynecology and infertility. RGI's expert physician team has over 30 years of experience offering personalized fertility treatment plans tailored just for you. Get started today. Your future family awaits. Book now at rgiohio.com. Now, when you say you guys do everything, do you have an agent, like, or a production company, or what is that? What does that look like?
This.
We're looking for somebody.
Okay, wait. So, universe, this just in. The Vindies need a production company. The work is never done, right?
No.
But then you get out there on stage and you play and you're like, God, is it ever worth it all?
And that's what we love the most.
Yeah, of course.
That's the best part. Yeah.
For the Vindies, playing live is what we love the most, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's take a park here, because you, before we started this, we talked about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Now, was he an influence for you too?
Yeah, when I was in seventh grade is when I got into guitar. I think he was the first one that I really, it was like, what was it, like 2000? So like he had just passed away a few years ago. And I think it was like that renaissance of like, they were coming out with that new song that they like were sitting on. And I think there was like a renaissance, and he was the first one I really identified with. Like, that Nevermind album was really important to me.
Do you have anything you can play in there? In that head of yours?
I've got all those riffs.
Like, yeah, just like.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. God, did I love that album.
It's such a good one, yeah.
Give me the small drums.
I mean, it's just like so sad still, like, when you think about it.
We did In Bloom, I remember.
We did In Bloom, yeah.
It's so wild. I can't believe it's been 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
Okay, so you guys are on the come up. I know these things, like, feel these things. I know you can feel it. You said the band is gelling. I mean, things are like, there's a rhythm in the universe for the Vindies. And I think the Pat Benatar situation is just another sign that things are moving this, like, really cool rhythmic pattern. Let's talk about Pat fucking Benatar. Pat Benatar, you are a fucking goat.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She is.
I can't. Like, so talk about how this all came about.
So really how this came about is just honestly, we have been working so hard in the Northeast Ohio scene, and we've gotten in good with Live Nation in the region and working with legacy acts like Michael Stanley Band and Donnie Iris and opening up for ZZ Top just recently. So we've been doing some really cool things. And when Pat came through to Cleveland, they called us up to open for her. When they came back through to Detroit, mm-hmm. we went and opened up for Pat and Neil up there as well. Her husband, Neil Giraldo, I should mention. Those two, the songwriting duo, they are powerhouse. I actually didn't realize how many hits that they actually had until I saw them live. And I'm like, hit after hit after hit that they had. I'm like, and in a time where music was selling so well. So to me, I've looked at Pat Benatar as when I was younger, I was really going after really big voices, and Pat Benatar was top of the list for me. You know, among her, it was Whitney Houston, it was Celine Dion, it was Steven Tyler. It was just like anything that was screaming, and like I wanted to try and emulate as much as possible when I was young. So I would just sing Pat Benatar songs over and over. So it's just like surreal to be opening up for her. The last time we did, I was able to give her a big hug.
Yeah, she gave us all hugs.
I'm still kind of nervous. So I think that they seem like really great people, and I'm sure that we're going to get to go to know them better. But it seems like they have this very much a family unit type of mm-hmm. Touring band as well, just like we do. So I'm looking forward to trying like hear more about it. But Neil Giraldo, her husband, is from Cleveland. Her original drummer's from Youngstown. Mm-hmm. Her bassist is from Struthers. And I think she's from Jersey.
Is that right?
I could be wrong. I have to look this up. But like, I think there's that Youngstown connection. And honestly, everywhere we go in the country, we've played on the West Coast, we've played in New York, we played in Florida. It is really Youngstown Nation out there. Mm-hmm. In the way that, oh, I'm from Youngstown. I have fans coming. Oh, my parents are from there, and I have family back in Ohio, and da 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 da. So it's really there's not one city that we've been to where I can't say that. Where I'm saying every single, time we're in a different market, I have at least one or two people from Youngstown.
I mean, we were in Carson City, and there were so many Youngstown State University sweatshirts in the crowd.
Sioux Falls,
you know, which is so.
Like it's
in South Dakota. There
never
was,
played there before. Yeah,
there was so
holding
many.
Up Youngstown flags. Like it's wild. Mm-hmm. It's really great. It's a great thing because. And I think, and I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers like this too, because they have fans all over the country. And it's because it's an old steel town and the kids moved out and did, you know, went to other cities. So I feel like that tradition has just like grown across the country. I feel like Youngstown's the same way. The kids have moved out of Youngstown. People have moved out, and but they still have that connection to the old steel town. Through their families.
Let's do a little Pat Benatar. Now you don't have to do We Belong. If there's something else that you like better, you're more familiar with. I mean, I'll cry if you do We Belong, and I've waited, you know, for like 2 weeks for you to sing it, but
let's do that.
There's no pressure. No, I'm kidding. If there's a song, I like any of her songs. Anything that she sings.
No, we'll do this one. But I can't remember. I can't decide which one's my. I think this one is my favorite.
It's, I mean,
for sure.
It's so good.
It's melodically just.
And then at the end, when the whole like choir comes in, damn it, Pat.
I know, Pat. Patty B.
Many times I tried to tell you, many times I cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you, really. I've invested too much time to give you up that easy to the doubts that complicate your mind. We belong to the light, we belong to the thunder, we belong to the sound of the words we both fall in
I mean, That, like, seriously, that is so good. So effing good.
Thank you.
I know, it's so good. And your voice is amazing. And I feel like we all just, we belong together. The Vindys, Kerry Croft Show, Pat Benatar, we all belong together. So before I forget, ZZ Top, how, like, what are those guys up to, man? Like, what the fuck? Were the, was the
still crushing it?
Like, I mean, seriously, like, yeah. They have beards. Like, are they, like, people were going ape shit for ZZ Top.
Yeah.
What do the groupies look like these days?
Right?
Like,
no, I think ZZ Top is transcending because there's a lot of TikToks that are using ZZ Top music again. And that is why the big capitalist guys are buying up these, you know, publishing contracts from artists right now. Like Fleetwood Mac, when that whole cranberry skateboarding TikTok thing trend took off, you know, that's what's happening, you know, all across the board. So they're buying up all these classic songs.
Kiss,
you know,
just sold theirs this week for $300 million. So,
like, yes, it's a thing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So was Joan Jett a big influence for you too?
She lesser than Pat Benatar, yeah, for sure. But if it was between Pat Benatar and Joan Jett in a fight, I think Joan might win.
I mean, Joan's.
I wouldn't mess with her.
Listen, she would kick some. She would kick some serious, I would not, ass. So I've got some questions from the gram.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was worried about these.
So who played they're all pretty. There's nothing too crazy, but who played the harmonica? Did one of you play the harmonica?
I mean, I guess that was me, the one or
somebody two, like, yeah, really liked the way you played the harmonica, and they want to know if you're ever going to play the harmonica again. So I guess that's a big no.
That was probably. I think I know who that was.
Yeah,
Steve. I will be. Maybe.
When did you learn to play the harmonica?
I didn't.
You didn't? You just kind of faked your way through it.
I just faked my way through it.
So. Okay, well, this person, DJ SMOJ2310, really liked your harmonics. Oh, would you be gay for a straight married woman just asking for a friend? I don't know.
I think that was somebody in this room.
Some sicko. Now, this one, Stevie Nicks or Joan Jett?
Stevie.
I was going to say, I mean, yeah. Stevie is my, like, absolute. Stevie is the absolute best.
She's my spirit animal, yes, on stage. Like,
yes.
I conjure that 70s witchcraft of a woman on stage.
Like, so Fleetwood Mac, like, what kind of song, what song are you thinking in your head when you hear, like, if you had to sing one right now?
Okay. I always think of that video of the song that she wrote when Lindsay and her were fighting.
Silver Spring?
Yes. Yes. And that video of those two on stage, mm-hmm, like, just, I'm like, girl, it's palpable. I can feel it.
And she's staring at him. It is a love story wrapped in cocaine, whiskey, threesomes, and all kinds of shit. Yeah. If I could take myself back in time, I would literally drop myself right into the middle of a Fleetwood Mac, like, orgy.
Yeah.
And then I would come back. Then I would come back. That's it. That's my dream. Okay, let's see. Ask them about the cool director that took them to Tribeca. Okay, so this.
Okay, Pete.
This is Pete. So speaking of, that's a great segue.
Yeah.
So talk about that. The Tribeca Film Festival. I mean, you guys are just getting all kinds of accolades.
Yeah. Peter John Campbell, he directed our, like, the first real music video that we were just, it was, like, very much like a studio set, like, everything that we did. I have a friend that had this insane house with all these, like, compartments, and they're like, she had mentioned, you guys should do a music video here. This is, I mean, she has a bowling alley, she has a movie theater, she has a
50s soda shop.
It's insane, all the things. They have, like, a.
And they're all back to back. It's, like, just like the next room. Like, up this door would be that thing. And then that.
It was a built-in studio for us to just play in. I was like, I'm going to take you up on that. So I called Peter John Campbell, who I've seen many of his videos. He's over in Canton, of all places. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, he can come over and we can do this. And it took 18 hours. And we enlisted Kent State University for their
help in the costuming. Mm-hmm. And when it came out, I was just beside myself how professional it looked, and how it was edited. And we've never been in something as professionally done as that.
I think, like, you know, every time we release anything, there's always that courteous or those people that are like, hey, that was really nice. But, like, there were people that were like, no, this is, like,
this crazy.
Is really good. This is something's different about this.
So he never told me that he, Peter John Campbell, he never told me that he was, you know, applying for festivals or this or that. He called me. He's like, are you sitting down? I'm like, oh, my God, what happened? What did I do? It's always, like, a bad thing in my head. I'm like, he's like, I know, this is very good. And he goes, Tribeca Film Festival just called and they want the music video. I'm like, what? What? Tribeca, which is like the red carpet of all the major stars. Robert De Niro heads Tribeca. Like, it's next to Sundance. It's the biggest thing. And it's in New York. It's right there. I'm like, we are going. We're definitely going. So we, you know, those of us who could go, we were able to get on the red carpet. And it was just such an insane experience to be among these insane. What was our category called?
Batshit crazy.
Batshit crazy.
Yeah.
That's the category you need to be in.
And we were with the Black Keys, which was even cooler. Yes. Yeah.
So it was out of all, like, I mean, there's not that many. I think there's like only a few thousand videos that are picked, movies and
I think what was it, like 7,000 to 8,000? Like, we had the number a couple months ago, but it was like 7,000 to 8,000 videos
total. I'm not sure, but the music videos
were submitted.
It was 8 music videos were selected, and of those 8, it was us. It was Lizzo's music video. It was the Black Keys video, and like a couple international ones that I couldn't recognize the names for. I'm like, this is my life right now. Like,
it's bonkers.
It was great. It was amazing. We had drinks before the premiere, and there was some Youngstown folks in the bar next door. Like, they were saying, hey, what's up? We're here for the Vindies. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. I was with my best – when you called me, I was with my best friend who went to film school. And I was like, hey, Tribeca, that's like a big deal, right? And he's like, yeah, why? And I was like, well, we're going. And he's like – he was like beside himself. He's like, dude, this is.
So those who knew it was a big
deal. Yeah.
It is a big deal for sure. Yeah. You guys are just, you know, it's amazing too when you're in a situation like this. It's like whatever dream you have, whether it's you're starting a business or you have a band or you're an artist, it's like these highs, right? It's like one lily pad to the next, like Pat Benatar, Tribeca, mm-hmm. Are You Ready? Are all these things like what's next? You know, like it's just a cool existence
for us. And many artists will tell you this. It starts with the song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we go to. If it feels good to us in the studio, if it feels good to us on the stage, then it's probably if we're feeling good about it, they're going to feel good about it.
Right.
And if somebody else is feeling good about it, you know, then it might have legs to do really cool things.
Yeah. Okay. So one more riff, one more something to close us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you want to leave this community with, who is now that you full of Vindies fans.
I
really wish you guys would just pull up a tent and just live here. I'm becoming very emotionally attached, I'm not gonna lie.
Should we do what are we doing tonight?
Do you want to do like Morning Light or do you want to do
a new song?
Do something newer.
What's a new song that we are working
do you
want to
do
on?
Earn
right?
the Night.
Yeah, let's do that. So this is brand new. It's not released, but we've been playing it live for the last year or so.
Okay. I've been banging the drum all day, watching time slip away, looking for my escape. I've been so damn predictable, I feel so invisible, stuck in this dead-end place. I'm suffocating. Change it in the best way, in the worst way, for just once in my life. I want all the night. Reach up and touch the sky above our city lights. I just want to feel alive. Turn on the spotlight. I want it so bright that I won't even the sun. I wanna out on the night.
It's amazing too, like watching the pure joy. Like when you're playing and like you're watching her and you're like, it's like you can just feel it. It's the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not feeling it, if you're but
to be a part of it, like I'm just, I mean, I appreciate you guys opening up and being able to like play like that. Sure. Like being able to witness that is so cool. My whole day has been made. Let's be honest. My month has been made.
One more question.
Are you single?
No, I'm dating Rick Deek in the band.
Okay, wait, which
one? My other guitar player.
Oh, I knew it.
I always said I would never date someone in my band.
I knew there'd have to be some kind of love triangle in the band. I mean, it's a bunch of... It's like
a triangle.
Well, okay, that's true. What's that? Yeah, it's a line. But like some kind of like thing going on.
I always also said that something I would never date a guitar player, especially because of their egos.
But it's got to be so... It's got to be so hot, though. Like
him and I are like the main songwriters, and we like that's how we completely like it was totally innocent. We got together and started writing, and like months went by, and it was just kind of just it fell into it, and because it's such a vulnerable thing to do already, so and I was very uncomfortable with writing with somebody anyway. To me, that's like having sex with somebody already. To be that vulnerable with somebody that you don't know, and then it being good every time that you have like a new song, you're like, holy shit, that happened so quickly. Let's write a new song. Oh my God, that's amazing. Let's write a new song. And for it to be, you know, just we just spent so much time together and it just kind of
it was a build up. It was a sexual tension that I'm going to think about for a really long time. As a married woman with two young children, that is just all I could just imagine that. Like you guys are you're attracted to each other, but you can't because you're in the band and he has an ego and you have an ego. And then all you know, you like it's like a thing that just brews over time. Did you know it was brewing?
You know what? It was a weird thing because like...
No, I did not want him in the band. He wasn't in the band at the time.
Yeah, I mean,
I was looking
just
for a songwriter
that we knew. And they were just working together, but that was it.
Oh, you're a fiery one. I love this.
I didn't want him in the band. And then John's like, no, we need him in the band. I'm like...
Well, when we recorded the album, the two albums ago, there was so much guitar and he was helping us produce it that we were like, well, he knows these songs. Like, we need him to play the parts I can't play at the same time. So that was it.
It was a cool time.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure
no,
it was.
I was just nervous because I've heard horror stories about bands like breaking up, like the whole band breaking up because of relationships, you know, and I never wanted to complicate the band like that. But it's honestly been a blessing and he's amazing and we've been together for 8 years.
I mean, he's grounded.
Yeah.
The whole band. And I mean, I give his credit to that. I think he's been the peacekeeper when things were super tense for a very long time. And
because me and John hate each other.
I can totally tell. But, I can totally tell the energy here. Yeah.
And Rick was like, Rick has a secret like rock star life where he was on a major label in the 2000s. So he saw the rise and demise of a band first. And then coming to us, he was like, he could see where things started going the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And he kind of diverted. In his peacekeeping. He was a very good peacekeeper.
You know? Damn. Well, I am just so excited that you guys came in. I really am. And I hate that this has to end.
Aww.
I feel like I'm five and I'm like, no, I don't want to leave the playground right now, but they have to leave. There can be a part two.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, when you make it big, there's not an if. Like when you are like, you know, just all I'm asking for is just a front row corner little seat with a little like whatever those little chairs are. Just let me sit over in the corner and I'm just gonna promote the shit out of you. Not that you even need me to, because you guys are, it's destined in the stars here.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are amazing. And I think more than anything, more than being amazing musicians, you're amazing humans. And that's really, I mean, the magic sauce, right?
Yeah, it is. Tell me less.
Seriously, thank you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You're a great interviewer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And if you're still out there following your girl, follow me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, go follow the Vindies, Google them, look them up, go to their shows, support the hell out of them because they're awesome, and keep moving, baby. That was so much fun. If they could all be that much fun.